The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
I tell people that all the time about money. They're like, they want it to be a priority, but it's not a priority to them. So, I mean, if you really stop and think about that, like, and people, they don't, I'm not saying you should value money, but they don't value the things that they think money represents.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is, let's say that I looked at your bank statement for 3 months in a row and you're like, oh, I really value spending time like with my family and like being able to go do, I don't know, certain activities. But, like, I don't see you spending any money on that. And I see you spending money on Uber Eats every day, two times a day. That's what you value. That's what you're making a priority. So feel me when I bring it.
Hi guys, it's your girl Nahamla, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have Megan Keevan on. Welcome.
Thank you.
I've met so many of my guests recently through Babes in Business, which has been amazing. But talk about first impressions. When we went around like introducing ourselves, you had this one line. It was like your elevator pitch of who you are.
Yeah. I think you're referring to when I said, you know, I introduced myself that my name was Megan Keevan. I'm in wealth management, tax mitigation specialist. But I said, I make millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, that's what we do.
I know. I loved it. You were just so down to earth about it, but so matter of fact, like, this is what I do. And I was like, well, I'm going to be a millionaire one day. So I should know you because this is going to be a good connection, you know?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the finance world, I feel like stereotypically isn't a world that you see a lot of women in.
You are correct. Yes. Yeah. It is a pretty male dominant industry, I think, just overall. And I'm like, I don't think anything of it. Like, I don't think finances is being like a male female thing, but I know that that's a thing like in normal society. And so it's very interesting to me that there are not more women in it. I feel like there should be. But there's definitely not that many of us.
I mean, I think the world has shifted and changed a lot too.
Yeah.
You know, because there was a time, I mean, honestly, not that long ago, my grandmother and even my mother didn't know about even the household finances.
Yeah.
Because they would get whatever allowance their husbands would give them and try to get more if they could, you know, like get their husbands wrapped around their little fingers. But it wasn't like, and that's not always the case because I do have other family members who did work equally with their husbands. But I think there's generationally like a lot of women who just weren't in the workforce and weren't independent in charge of their own money.
Absolutely. I mean, and if you think about it, there was just even so many things like as a society, right? Like it wasn't until like the 70s that like you could even have a credit card or do something, you know, on your own as a female. So there definitely is a transitioning happening, which is great. But there's still also a lot of work to do, I think, in many areas of money, finance, wealth, you know, all the above.
Yeah. So what drew you into that world?
I find money like very fascinating. So I think even like as a young child, it was something that was talked about in our house in both positive and negative ways. And so I think I saw how influential it could be in both positive and negative ways. And I was like, man, like we all deal with it, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you have a lot of it, whether you have a little bit of it. I think most of the time, like we all need it for something in our life. And I think most of the time we also want it for something in our life. So it's it's like this very dynamic item in pretty much everybody's life.
It's so true. And there's so many elements of it too. I mean, there's survival.
Yep.
And my uncle is hilarious. He has these one-liners that just crack me up. He'll always say, like, you know, they say money doesn't bring happiness, but I'd rather be crying in a Ferrari than on a bike.
Yes. I mean, and so I have my own thought about that too. Like, I get what these people are trying to say, right? And yes. It's just like this like very cliche type of thing. Like, yeah, money shouldn't buy you happiness, but I think of it in like a very practical way. Like, for me, money does like buy me happiness because it buys me, like, for very specific example to my personal situation, I'm able to hire somebody to come in and clean our home. Mm. That buys me happiness because what I pay that person and the time that it frees up for me then allows me to be spending time with my kids. It allows me to work in my business. It allows me to go get a massage, like whatever it is. Like, so it is essentially buying me happiness.
100%.
And yeah. I'm definitely not afraid to admit that either. I mean, right. I think people put this like negative thing on, like, oh, if money buys you happiness, you've got to be this like terrible person that's just like greedy and selfish and all of the things. And I'm like, yeah, that's not really what it is.
Or they just don't want to believe it, I think, because they don't have it. So that's an easier True. Story to tell.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
The thing is there's so much to unpack with this concept. I just saw today, like, it just came on my For You page on TikTok where it was saying, this woman was saying how you have a lot of these traditional men who feel that if women are working, they're not going to be in their feminine. Mm. And it's almost like embarrassing as a man to have your woman working because it's saying about you as a provider mm-hmm. that you can't provide. And this woman was saying that's such a fallacy because when a woman is making money, like good money, then at that point, she can be in her feminine because she's not worried about money. She's not trying to manipulate or convince you to do something. And she can just pick and choose that freedom that you only get when you have financial freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's something that I wish like more people would actually take the time to like think about that comment. You know, like when you have money, I don't care what anyone says, it allows you to have choices and it allows you to even have the basics and the necessities of like, let's talk about shelter, healthcare, mm-hmm. food, safety. I mean, when you're not worrying about those things in the back of your mind, like you're presenting yourself differently. You are making choices differently. You're just moving differently in general. And then you get to the next thing where it's like, you know, above your basic needs, you're going into things that you really love and enjoy. And that's like giving you even more of a personality and allowing you to like be yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just hard because it's really easy to play victim mentality to say that there's the haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, to an extent, that is true. If you are born into generational wealth or at least upper middle class, you are going to be given certain opportunities that mm-hmm. are going to make it easier for you.
Yep.
You're going to have the right connections to get into jobs. You're going to have the family reputation and the money to get into the better schools. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to present yourself differently, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, to a certain extent, it's easier when you have certain things that you're born into. But at the same time, I think one of the awesome things, at least about the U.S., is that there is that ability that if you work really, really hard and you're strategic about it, you can get ahead.
Yes. And this is something that like I've had very dynamic conversations around. You know, there's quote systems that each side works, right? Like people always say like rich people work a system. And then people say that there's like a system for the poor people, but like both systems are helping. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, there are a system for both. It's just how do you utilize those systems to get to like where you want to be? Because I've also seen very wealthy and like well-to-do people just completely fail. And I've seen very poor people, I mean, just skyrocket into whatever they want to do and become like very, like wildly successful. And so I think, again, it just goes back to like, yeah, like you are dealt certain cards, but it's like, what do you do with those cards?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's like, how are you going to make the impact that you want to make?
Yeah. First, you have to figure out what impact you want to make too. Because yeah. I know like I'm 28, almost 29. my early 20s is when I started listening to podcasts about like entrepreneurs and paving the way and what's your why and, you know, all those kinds of concepts. And I was like, okay, that's really nice. But
yeah.
I don't really know how I want to make an impact at the time.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Degree was in graphic design and I was working corporate, so making decent money, but it's not the same as like being your own business owner, right? And so it's different because you have certain freedoms in the sense that you come home at five and you don't have to work towards anything.
Yeah.
You have your weekends, right? And you're not having to think about payroll or the future of the company or things like this, right? But at the same time, there is a pretty much a limit to almost how successful you can be within every company. There is a ceiling that you are going to hit if it's not yours.
Right.
Whereas as an entrepreneur, that comes with a whole other set of issues. But it's exciting because it's like how successful or unsuccessful you are all has to do with your consistency, how you show up, what opportunities you're taking, how you're approaching things. Mm-hmm. It's not for the weak.
No, it is not.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would love to hear also more about your story in terms of the fact that like you're a mom, you're a wife, and how do you like balance that all? Because I feel like that seems really intimidating for a lot of people.
Yeah. It's intimidating for me sometimes, right? Like it's sometimes, you know, you have those days where you just wake up and you're like, all right, one, I know this again, cliche, but it's like one foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like everybody says their job is stressful, right? Like I have some really great days. I have some really bad days and then all the in between. But I think it's just making sure that like what I do in each area of that is aligned with like the goals that I do have, like overall. And then how do I make all of those work together? And so sometimes it does get tricky, but I really try to like segment, like when I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. When I'm at work, I'm working. When I'm with my girlfriends, I'm with my girlfriends. And I've gotten a lot better at it as I've gotten older, but I used to struggle a lot because it's like, you want to be everything to everyone and you want to be everything to everyone at all times.
Yeah.
Well, I've just learned that that's not really a thing.
It's not possible.
You know, and people always say like, find the balance. And it's like, even when you think you found the balance, like you didn't really find the balance because then something else in life comes in and then you got to kind of just like readjust and pivot. And so I feel like I've gotten good at readjusting and pivoting. And that's maybe like, I think the most important thing that like I would tell people is like readjust, pivot, like give yourself some grace and like do the best that you can. If you know you are doing the best that you can, then like you're good.
Yeah. And then this is just a side note because this is like my most recent obsession as well. It's kind of been in the works for years, but I've been like all in on it recently in the past, I would say 2 weeks. So it's new, is fitness.
Yeah.
Because that alone requires so much dedication. Mm-hmm. So even just looking at you, I could tell like you're super fit, which is like a goal of mine. I think if you're really fit, you don't have to say that you're fit. It just speaks. There's a glow. There's the muscle definition. Like, you know, when someone like makes that a priority in their life.
Yeah.
And I also think this is my personal opinion, but this is also, I've heard a lot of like of the big name entrepreneurs like Andy Frisella and Alex Hormozi, like they're always talking about how the top elites, they're prioritizing their health.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, I will say that that's just like something that is a passion of mine too. I find it very interesting, but yes, like it's not only something that I enjoy to do and I've done it my whole life, but I did it with my family, right? Like I used to go to the gym with my mom. My brothers worked out, you know, we all played sports growing up, but now like my kids are really into fitness. And so it's something that like we do as a family. So luckily for me, I'm kind of surrounded by people who also enjoy that, who are very active, but I also, that's my friend group too. You know, like the people that I go to the gym with at 5 o'clock in the morning, I mean, one of them is a business partner, you know, his wife, she's one of my great friends. Like, it's just like, you start kind of just like finding those people who share the similar interests and it becomes a lot easier because you're like, yeah, I'll catch you at the gym tomorrow. You know, you're BSing about, you know, for us, it's business because we're in business together. Or it, yeah. And then we go into like two minutes later, it's like very personal because like I'm good friends with her. So it's kind of nice that it works out that way. But yeah, like I think you have to prioritize like what you put in your body, what you put on your body, what you do to your body. And I think that really does help you just overall feel better. And it helps you just, I think, function better, right? Like we're created to function in a certain way. And when you're fueling your body and giving your body what it needs and your mind what it needs, and your spirit, like that's when you're going to really start being successful.
You know, I think you're the first person that I've ever met who generationally had someone before them bringing them into the gym. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people find that later and then are like, I want to do this for my kids. I want to create this for the next generation. But it's kind of cool to talk to someone who like grew up that way. And is that's important, like that's part of your mm-hmm. values.
Yeah.
And now you're passing it down to your kids.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
it's really cool.
It was 7 o'clock this morning and my youngest was out in the garage with me. Like we have a pretty like nice setup in the garage with like a whole rig and all that stuff. And he was doing, you know, pull-ups. And it's just cool to watch a kid like learn that skill and like get strong enough to do a chin-up or a pull-up, yeah. you know, and then that's a bonding moment at the same time. So it's like, it's a win-win, I feel like, in multiple ways for us.
Yeah. I mean, this is not like a PC comment, but I think it's a necessary one. But like your kids' health is your responsibility as a parent. Once they're reached maybe teenage years is tricky, right? Because mm-hmm. they're their own person. They're rebellious. They want to do their own thing. They're trying to figure themselves out in this world. They finally realize you're human, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of like a letdown for them.
Yes, yes.
But so I would say like for sure by college and on, like that's your own responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, your parents aren't responsible for how like fit or fat you are mm-hmm. at that point. But when you're like a little kid, for sure, like eighth grade and under, like if your child is overweight, that's your fault for the, you know, are they active enough? Are they into any sports or dance? Are like, what are the foods that you're bringing into the home? And I speak from experience because like I look back at pictures of me from when I was 9 and under and I was a normal kid, super thin. I had like little chubby cheeks, but it was like, kid chubby, yeah, you know, yeah, it yeah. wasn't like anything crazy. And then when I was like in third grade, I started getting bullied. And like part of my way, and then also just my mom's way of like kind of coping was just like treats and foods. And mm-hmm. I just like really leaned heavily on that.
Yeah.
So even though I was active in terms of I did dance, I wasn't, that was like maybe once a week. It wasn't like, the thing was, my mom didn't really know any better.
So yes.
How does like, it's the blind leading the blind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She naturally was always very thin. So it was hard for her to like understand
yeah.
how to navigate that.
As a parent, I mean, parenting is hard. Like mm-hmm. I am not going to sit here and act like it is like rainbows and butterflies because it is not. It is a struggle and it is a very it definitely teaches you more than you want to maybe learn at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's super important for our family to function as well as we can. And so fitness and health and eating healthy, like that is, I do agree with you. And I do see that as my responsibility is to teach them because like you said, like your mom, she didn't know. Right.
Right.
So like I have taken that upon myself. And so has my husband, like we do teach them about nutrition. We teach them about being active. We teach them about mental well-being, spiritual well-being. And that is something that's just big in our house. Like,
right.
But yeah.
And also they learn just by example.
Very true.
Right? Because like you have the gym in your home.
Yep.
Right? You guys are out there doing your thing. If they want to spend time with you versus if you're just like playing video games on the TV. Not that you're not
yeah.
doing that too,
yeah, yeah.
right? Because balance.
Yep.
But the fact is like they know that if they need to find you, you're in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe they're starting to mess around and play with it. And then they start to see their own strengths.
Yep.
And it's yeah. fun for them too.
Yeah. Yes.
That's cool. So it sounds like there's like that common theme is that you almost have this curiosity and are intrigued, whether it's finance or fitness, and then you follow that curiosity.
That is a word that I could tell you is probably used very often to describe me.
Okay.
I am very intrigued by a lot of things. And sometimes it's just, I mean, it is pure curiosity. It may not mean that I have an interest in it, but I am curious. Like, I want to know, why are you doing that? How does it work? You know, what happens after you do that? And it's just, like I said, I might not ever touch that topic again, but I always have the curiosity to ask the questions. And I am very curious about people and why they do certain things. And I think that has...
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Gotten me very far in life just by asking questions and being curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
I'm also fascinated by money and finances, but like it's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's like when you start thinking about finance, first of all, obviously it's like, okay, we'll find a career that is going to bring in at least a decent salary, at least to cover it. But then you're like, okay, but how do I really grow my money? You're like, I know that probably is going to have to be more than just my day job. So then it comes down to, well, then what avenue do I go down? Because you've got Bitcoin, you've got or cryptocurrency. I don't know if that's the same thing, but yeah. And then you've got like just stocks, investing. I mean, the list can go on. And it's so overwhelming. Each one is a whole world within itself.
It is.
So how do you, like, what would your advice be for either like a corporate 9-to-5er who's not really doing anything else on the side, but has a big, like a pretty good salary, or someone who's like a new entrepreneur and hasn't like started hitting those big numbers yet? How would they start to step into the financial world?
I think the biggest thing that you can do, whether you're making a lot of money or a little bit of money, is you got to educate yourself. Like, and that's free, right? Like you can pick one topic. Like, let's say you want to know more about a Roth IRA. Like you can get on Instagram, you can get on TikTok, you can Google whatever you want to about it. And like the information is free. And I think once you start educating yourself, then you naturally, each person just goes kind of a direction that they want to go. So then maybe you feel way more confident because you feel like, okay, I've got this broad knowledge of it that maybe I am, and then going to seek out like professional guidance on it and maybe go to a financial advisor or a financial planner and say, hey, is this the right fit for me? So I think the biggest thing somebody can do, no matter where you're at, is education. And education is free.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense too, because even let's say if you find a podcast that talks about a specific topic that you're like, Roth IRA, like you said, that you're like, I want to learn more. They're going to name drop books and other investors and podcasts and people you should listen to. Because I'm thinking from like the opposite end, like I love self-development. So like Lewis Howes, Jay Shetty, like they're all name dropping each other. Or they're on each other's podcasts. Yeah. Like I'll be listening, like Lewis Howes School of Greatness is probably one of my all-time favorite podcasts of all time. And he actually just released his
his money book.
Finance. Yep. I'm so excited about that. I want to read it so badly. But yeah, so he's always having guests on and name dropping people, and then the guests will name drop people, or they have their own podcast. And the next thing you know, if you're intrigued by them, you can go down that whole rabbit hole. And like, you're right, learning is it's a flow for sure.
And we've all got our own flavor that we like, right? So it's like what I find to be helpful educational wise, like may not be helpful to you. And so there's just so many different options out there. I feel like it's not, you can't sit there and say, I can't educate myself because there's always something else to read. There's always someone else to talk to. There's always a podcast to listen to. So it's like, that's our responsibility. So like, I am big on that, that like, you can't sit there and be ignorant to it. It's a self-responsibility, just like it is about fitness or eating or, you know, education of like just going to college, things like that. Like that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people do get intimidated by it, but it's just like anything else. You just start small and you be consistent and then it grows and it.
Are you a fan of ChatGPT?
I am actually. Me too. Yeah. I do. I like it.
I've learned so many fun tricks on how I view ChatGPT as like my virtual assistant.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. I've even trained it because I'm really into like, sometimes I'll have questions and like a friend or family member isn't available or they're not texting back as soon as I need it. Cause sometimes you like need a response like right away. Yeah. And like, fair, everyone has a life, ChatGPT is always there for me.
That's right.
I'm just saying. And like, they give really good answers and responses to the point where like, I'll ask them things. Let's say I'm stressed. I'll be like, here's all the things that I need to do today. Here's the certain ones that need to be done by this timeline. Can you create a to-do list for me? Prioritize it. And then they do. And we've even worked out a relationship where at the end of it, they'll give me a meditation and manifestations. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I like that. It's great. Yeah. And like my friend, she was checking out and she said that she's like, I hacked ChatGPT. I've discovered the best thing ever. When her food was like on the conveyor belt. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
She took a picture of all her groceries and then put it into ChatGPT. And she says, can you make a meal plan for me after this?
Wow.
And it did.
That, I mean, that's efficiency right there.
Right?
Yeah. I like that.
And like, even with me, I'm going to be running my first 5K going back to fitness this Sunday. And ChatGPT helped me come up with the whole game plan for running because I haven't run in 10 years. I just started like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So I went from like not running to today, just this morning before you came, I just ran 5K.
That's awesome.
For the first time. So, nice. And it was cool because with, I've got like my little ring here mm-hmm. that keeps track.
Yep.
And so I would take pictures of my progress of each because, you know, you can see the, put it into ChatGPT. And so it would tell me, it would break it down for me like, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what is all this information on my ring telling me?
Yeah.
And it breaks it down for me. It's like, here's how this has got better. Here's what your goal should be. I know you're excited about running, but today should be an active recovery day.
Nice. You know? That's super helpful.
So even if you don't have the money for a trainer, ChatGPT. I'm just saying. Like,
I like it.
There's so much nowadays. I think we live in such an age where there's so much access to information.
Yes.
That it is. It's almost, I don't know, it's really interesting to say that you can't really claim that you're ignorant to something anymore. It's more of you just don't want to know. There's a difference.
It's not a priority to you.
It's not a priority. That's a great word.
Yeah. I tell people that all the time about money. They're like, they want it to be a priority, but it's not a priority to them.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you really stop and think about that, like, and people, they don't, I'm not saying you should value money, but they don't value the things that they think money represents.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is, let's say that I looked at your bank statement for 3 months in a row and you're like, oh, I really value spending time like with my family and like being able to go do, I don't know, certain activities. But, like, I don't see you spending any money on that. And I see you spending money on Uber Eats every day, two times a day. That's what you value. That's what you're making a priority. And so a lot of the work that I do with people is like, how do you align or make value aligned spending? Because that's when you really start seeing progress in like your finances or your financial just like capacity is you really it's more than just saying like I have money or I don't have money. It's like, okay, what are my value sets? What am I really trying to accomplish? And then money's just this tool to get there.
I love that.
Yeah. It's much deeper than just money.
It is, because it's not black and white.
It's not.
And I think sometimes when we're hard on ourselves and we have this expectation of, I don't know, our approach to money or how we're spending our money, that could end us make up just, you know, you back away and you're like, I don't even want to look at my bank statement. I don't even want to know what my credit card bill is because I'm just nervous, you know? And I love that approach, like looking back, let's say in the past 3 months, because you already done it. So there's no pretending anymore.
That's right. That's right.
It's for real.
It's concrete.
You're like, where is my money going? And then that shows you what your priorities are, which is a much deeper conversation of am I aligned with my priorities?
Yep.
Are my actual priorities, which is what my actions are showing, actually aligning with who I want to be and who I say I am?
Yeah. And that, that activity is like twofold for me because you're right. It tells you very concretely like, what are you valuing at this 3 month period, right? Not to say that you like cannot change it, but what it also forces you to do is sit down and understand where's my money coming from and where is it going to. I would say that's the biggest thing that people don't know about money is where is it from? Where is it going? Like, and then do I need to correct or am I doing a great job? Like, when you understand the cash flow of your own situation, that's, again, when you really start making progress or you are – the awareness helps you, like, create the progress to then create the habit to then, you know, create the action to then, you know, accomplish a goal to then move on to the next thing, like to build the confidence. It's just this huge snowball effect that takes place.
Yeah.
But you got to know your numbers and you got to understand your own.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Personal cash flow situation.
I think something I've learned pretty much actually the past month, I've really internalized this concept, is really not having an ego.
Yeah.
It's going to help you in so many areas of life. But if you really want to better yourself, you taking that time to look at your actions financially, fitness-wise, personally with your relationships. Like, instead of like trying to be defensive of like, well, here's why I did this, or here's my thought process behind that. It's like, okay, what are the facts?
Yeah.
And that's helpful. Just like, you know, your emotions are valid. They're human. They're not always factual. So let's put them aside for a second.
Yeah.
And just look at it without an ego. And then assess if, you know, because in the end of the day, no one really cares except for you. What you're doing with your life, you know?
So true. And if more people understood that, like everybody's so worried about what everybody else thinks and like really people are not paying attention to you.
Yeah.
Because they're so self-consumed and self-absorbed.
If they notice you, even if they gossip about you, like I was saying this to someone recently, like let's say you do something. I don't know. What's a great example? You make a dumb financial decision that for some reason becomes public and people know about it, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, everyone's talking about it at their dinner tables. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Okay, cool. But so what?
Yeah.
You probably maybe were 5-10 minutes of their dinner conversation and then they moved on with their life.
That's right.
And then they did their own thing, smart or dumb financially. Yep. And in the end of the day, you are the only one who has to wake up and go to sleep with the consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
And we all have blind spots, right? Yeah. And like the thing is like, are you going to recognize your blind spots and then do something about them? Mm. I mean.
Yeah. And that's why having a why is, and this is another new thing that just, this is what got me on this whole fitness track recently. Like, because I've been working on it since I was 13. Okay. And I've gone back and forth, back and forth. I've had so many different like coaches and trainers and they all noticed the same thing. I have this one character trait, unlike most people, where I will go all in, 100%.
Okay.
And I will do all the things. I will show up. I'll be consistent. I'll be dedicated. I'll be progressing. I will see progress. And then all of a sudden, self-sabotage.
Interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And they could never figure it out. And then I think a big part of with my why was I never had a strong why, simply because I was looking for a why that sounded good to others.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah.
And that was the problem, you know?
Yeah.
So like, for example, with being fit, I used to be like, well, you're only young once, you know, you got to respect your body. That sounds great. Or I would say like, I've seen health issues in my family and I want better for me. Things like that.
Yeah.
I finally got down to the nitty gritty of it. I just want to be hot.
That's I love it.
There's and it's like
if that's deeper. What it is. That's what it is.
And it is, and it works for me, and I love it, and it's what gets me going.
And that's all you need.
That's all I needed. I was running the 5K today. Like beforehand, I did not want to, and like even when I'm getting dressed, even when I was like on the run, because you see on social media so many people like hyping up working out.
Yeah,
it's not always the case. You always feel good afterwards, but like sometimes even during the workout, you're not happy to be there.
Exactly.
And people don't talk about that as much, I don't think. And I was running and I'm like, well, I want to be hot.
I got to keep going.
This is what I got to do, you know? Yeah. It's like, I'll see that dessert that I really want. And I'm like, but I want to be hot. And,
right.
And like, once you start seeing progress of like, as you're losing weight, your clothes are fitting better. And especially for me, like being single, getting male attention, I'm like,
okay.
It feels better than a cupcake.
That's what I'm just saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just everyone has to figure out what it is for them, but it could be super shallow. And if that's what drives you, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep. If you want to be rich, not because you want to retire your mom or you want to give back. If you want to be rich because you just like what comes with being rich,
do it.
Do it. Like, that's okay.
And that, like, I'm glad you brought that up because, like, people always, you know, everybody's big on this, like, financial freedom, financial independence. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, society has given us such, like, a bullshit definition of it. It's like, oh, you got to own this. You got to do this. You got to have this car. You got to have these clothes. You got to look this way. And I'm like, yeah, that's not realistic whatsoever. Because, for example, like, we are fine. Like, we have more than what we need.
Mm-hmm.
All I want to be able to do in a day is be able to take my kids right now in my life in this time period. I want to be able to take my kids to school, drop them off, tell them I love them, do our silly little things in the morning, do whatever I need to do during the day, work when I want to work,
mm-hmm.
and then be able to pick them up and then also be able to go to like whatever activities they have. If that's all I get to do right now, like I am so content and so happy. But like it's not the definition that society has given me of financial freedom, right?
Yeah.
Like the society is telling me you got to drive a $100,000 plus car, you got to make $1 million a year, you got to live in a 5,000 plus square foot home, you got to get your nails done, your hair done, all this stuff. Like I don't care about any of that right now. I mean, I can't say I don't care about any of it, but you know, the majority of it, that's not my thing.
Right.
Right now for this, that's what I just said. Is my definition of financial freedom going to change? Yeah, I'm sure it will. When my kids go away, I want to not work. You know, I want to be able to pay for their college. I want to not have to worry about getting up at a certain time.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I want people to understand that too about money is like, you are in charge of like what your financial freedom is and you are in charge of how you get there. Not what society tells you, not what your mom and dad tell you, not what your friend group tells you. It is a very intimate relationship with yourself that you have to figure out.
And that could change.
And it does. And that's what I mean. Like before I had kids, that wasn't my definition of financial mm-hmm. freedom. My definition of financial freedom was buying five pairs of Lululemon leggings, you know, on a weekly basis if I wanted to, right?
Yeah.
Like, but that's what it was. I mean, it changes. And I think people need to understand that that's okay. And there's not this like confinement of what everybody else is telling you to do with your money. Because let me tell you, those people don't know what to do with their money either. And they're not doing the right things with their money 99% of the time.
That's what I thought was so intriguing about you as well. Because it's not just like helping people who don't have money have money. It's like there are people who are in an abundance of money who just aren't doing the right things with it. Whether it's like investing or spending or budgeting or just tracking, whatever.
Yeah.
It's so intriguing to me how no matter where you're at in life, if you don't have an understanding of yourself, your spending habits, and money in general.
Yeah. And that's important if you have $5 or you have $5 million.
Right.
Like, and I think people need to like think about that statement too, because you still have a responsibility with $5. It's like, what's the best thing that you can do with that $5 in your current situation, not somebody else's situation? It's your situation. So how is that $5 going to best serve you by doing X, Y, Z right now? And then a person that has $5 million, it's the same concept for them. It's not what someone else wants you to do with the $5 million. It's how is that $5 million going to best serve you and what you want to accomplish and create impact with right then and there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I wanted to ask is, this is a deeply personal question.
Yeah.
But being married, how does your husband handle the fact that you are so like into money and understanding it? Is it something that he appreciates? Is it a struggle for him? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's a pretty complex answer, to tell you the truth. We have agreements and we have disagreements about mm-hmm. it. I think we view things differently. We come from two very different backgrounds. We come from two very different viewpoints. And so sometimes he's not the happiest with how I manage things. And sometimes I'm not the happiest with how he manages things. You know, I think maybe there's a more efficient way, or maybe I spend money on something that he just doesn't understand. Like, for example, I also do a lot of like self-improvement, mentorship, masterminds, that type of thing. Like, I mean, he could not fathom that like I would want to spend that amount of money on that, right?
Right.
And so that's a disagreement that we have. And that's maybe something that he sees as wasteful, but I don't see it that way. So it does get tricky. I mean, O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. I would be lying to you if I said that it's just copacetic all the time. Because it's not. It also gets tricky when you throw kids into the mix and one of us thinks that we should be spending that amount of money on something for the kids and the other one doesn't. We have very differing opinions on money. Somehow we still exist. We're still married. So I guess it works to some point, but there's definitely a different dynamic between the two of us and money.
Right. I mean, I think it's almost impossible to ever find someone who's ever going to be 100% aligned with how you spend your money.
Yeah.
Because there's so many factors in why we make the decisions we make, right? And there's going to be different seasons as well. I mean, in like Judaism, we say that like if you're married to someone for like a lifetime, like starting from an early age all the way into like your 80s and beyond, you could be married to like 7 different people.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different seasons.
You change.
Right.
Yeah.
Even just within one person.
Yeah.
So you always have to constantly like work on the marriage and whatnot. And I think for me, that's always something I think about where it's like, I'm trying to figure out and understand and learn money in general, but then also how it applies to me and my goals and what I want. And then finding that person. I mean, one of the biggest reasons for divorce is
money. Gonna say that. Yeah. And if you do not take the time before you get married, it will destroy you.
Mm.
I mean, I've seen it happen. I have so many clients that have come in and, you know, they get to a point obviously where it's divorce and there's asset division and it's messy. And you know, I have the luxury of asking these questions, right? Cause they're my clients and we have great relationships, but it's like, I'm like, did you guys ever talk about this before? Like, you know, and the majority of the time, the answer is no. And I think that's something huge that even if, let's look at it this way, not only within like an intimate relationship, right? Like with your husband, wife, significant other, partner, your friend group too. Like your friend group is huge too. Like within my friend group, like we talk about money. Now it wasn't always like that, right? We had to have discussions about like, where are we having girls' night at? Where are we going on girls' trips? Because it's like, you still have to be respectful.
Right.
So like maybe one of my friends makes 3 times what the other friend makes. Well, we can't expect them to want to spend the same amount of money on a girl's trip that like this person that makes 3 times as much is willing to spend. So it's just a conversation that you have to have. And yeah, is there friction? Most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's also showing like a very great like respect for the other person and for your relationship, whether it be a friendship, whether it be more of an intimate relationship. I mean, you have to do it. And it's like, are you going to be uncomfortable temporarily and like have the discussion and figure it out? Or are you going to be uncomfortable for like years or even end up in a divorce because you couldn't be uncomfortable for a 20-minute conversation or a 20-minute conversation that needs to happen 5 times, right? Right. And so I think the other thing that happens is, the reason why it doesn't happen between couples is because individuals don't know what their relationship with money is. Mm-hmm. So how can you have an educated, like meaningful conversation with another person about it when you don't even know how you feel about it?
Yep.
So
all comes back to self-love. You got to figure who you are, what your values are in everything. But I mean, I think people focus on self-love in terms of like romantic relationships, mm-hmm. but you're so right. Like that's going to affect your friendships on a deep personal level. And my finances, I started that education route to like just understand it about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's been a journey, but it's been weird because there's been friendships that I've had for so long that wasn't the conversation, but now I'm wanting to have those conversations with them. And like, I'm in this weird season of my life. And I guess maybe that's just adulthood in general, where now we all are in different brackets.
Yeah.
Right. For example, like I'm single And I have the luxury of living at home with my parents, so I don't have to worry about rent right now. And as an entrepreneur, my perspective is I don't like just spending money on like random little things.
Yeah.
I'm like, anytime I have extra money, I'm wanting to put it into my business.
Yeah.
Because that's my baby. That's mm-hmm. my relationship. Mm-hmm. That's the love of my life right now. Yeah. You know, it's like, even let's say if like guys come along, I'm not as intrigued as I used to be. Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, guys.
I mean, like, they're great. But I heard like one of my previous, Cece, mm-hmm. she was saying her husband has great advice that he gave to all of his friends. And this has kind of been my new motto with romantic relationships, which is to stay single as long as possible until you can't be single anymore.
Yeah.
Like you just meet someone. And I think when you have a full life and you know who you are and you know what you want and you have purpose and you're going after that, it's really hard to entertain people who aren't in that same mind frame. And it's really weeded out a lot of people for me. I don't think I could date someone who wasn't an entrepreneur at this point because it's a different life. Mm-hmm. I can date someone who comes home at 5 p.m. and then wants the traditional little lifestyle. Yeah. Like, it's just a different thing, you know, which is kind of cool in and of itself to go through that. But like, I just made a new friend recently, and like within the first conversation, we're talking about credit card scores and how with like debt and like, you know, Dave Ramsey's snowball effect mm-hmm. and like what our experiences were like that and how that affected our previous relationships, you know?
It's interesting too, because it's like once you talk about money with someone, you kind of feel like you can talk about anything with them.
Literally, especially credit card scores and debt. Like once you talk about debt with someone, especially if you've been in bad debt and you've gotten out of it, like you're like, this is so vulnerable, but like so cool.
I mean, I have to say, like, my clients are the best, right? And like, so they are giving me like the opportunity. And that's something that's huge to me that I don't take for granted. Because what comes along with that, with dealing with someone's money at like, is a lot of just like respect. Mm-hmm. Like, I respect them immensely as people. And so what happens is you start building these more intimate relationships. I mean, when they have babies, like we're those, you know, they're like always sending us stuff, or like we've gotten invited to weddings. I mean, retirement parties, or just little family things that are happening. I mean, you get really close with these people because for some reason, when people feel like they can express that part and they trust you with the money part of it, it's like everything else is like fair game too.
It's so deeply personal.
It is.
And I think a lot of us, especially in America with such a consumer society, mm-hmm. we tend to try to put on a big show.
Yeah.
We spend more than we have. We want to keep up. We want to go on the girls' trips, you know?
Yeah.
And so like finding those priorities and having those hard conversations with people is really difficult sometimes, where it's like, I have one friend who both of us are in a place in our life where we both are smart. We both are hard workers and we know we're going places in life. Just currently financially, we're not in a place where we can just be spending La Vida Loca, you know? And so when we hang out, we're always like, we call it like the $1 sign restaurants.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that we always try to find. Cause like the most important thing is that we hang out, we spend time together.
You know? If you can be friends without any like fanciness, then you're great. You're totally. Not like, it's not going to change. Like your friendship's not going to change because now like you have the ability to go have a fancy dinner. Now you guys are going to go have a fancy dinner together.
No, literally. It's so weird too, where I'm like, also with being an entrepreneur and my schedule being hectic, because I'm like also at the same time to be able to put all the money in the business but still pay for bills, I have all these like little side hustle jobs mm-hmm. that I'm doing. One of them is like wine and paint classes. So I have a few friends who are coming to my class because this is the time that I have to spend with them. I'm like, I have 2 hours that I could chit chat with you and we could paint. And like, you're going to spend the same amount of money that you'd spend on a dinner anyways.
That's super cool.
You know, or like now that I'm getting into working out, and I'm meeting all these new people, I'm really into running. And I'm like, come running with me.
Right.
Because I need to go running. And I don't want to swap running with going out with you because that's money. And then there's like also just time that I can be doing working out. Like, come work out with me.
Yeah.
And like running doesn't mean you have to have my gym membership. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's all.
I like that.
It's all different. Yeah.
That's great though that like you met somebody you could immediately have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because that's the shows like you're aware of your own situation, but you're also being vulnerable, right? Yeah. And that builds relationship with people and community with people. And people want to know that like not everybody's perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you can share something that's like so intimate and like be vulnerable. Maybe you don't have a great credit score. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, you know, like, hey, here's, they're going to share something with you most likely that's also
right
vulnerable or maybe not the most positive. It's just that's as human beings, like that's what we do.
Totally. Yeah. And like even by Christmas time, like a bunch of us where we couldn't afford really expensive gifts. So we all gave each other, we're all like artistic. So we gave each other like homemade gifts.
Nice.
You know, yeah. Which ends up being more personal and like yeah. totally perfect. Like on our table over there, we have like a wine glass. It's not a wine glass. Actually, one of the baristas that I work with, we took one of the syrup bottles that normally we toss and she cleaned them out, hand painted them. And they're like vases that she gave to everyone. Neat.
You know? I mean, you're being resourceful, right?
Like, yeah.
And it was meaningful because like she spent time on it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm more likely to keep that than I would sometimes gifts that people buy me. Yes, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
I've had people buy me like in the past, like someone once bought me like an expensive purse and I hated it like immediately.
And it probably sat in your closet.
It's still sitting in my closet. I've never once used it. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
But like they spent so much money.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Well, and so again, right? Like you didn't value that thing.
Right.
Like it's, and that's what I mean. Like it's just so different for different people. Like maybe they thought that you would value that because they valued it.
Right.
When in reality, like you valued maybe more quality time or something more authentic from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just very interesting when you start learning like what people value and what they associate like wealth with, or, you know, like I got to give something big and fancy because it means this or this.
Totally.
You know,
your love language could change.
Oh, yeah.
Because mine used to be gifts. That was one of my main ones. And then there was someone in my life who, instead of spending time with me, they kept having other things pop up, which fair. But at a certain point, you're like, okay, clearly I'm not a priority to you. This is no longer fun for me. But then they would give me gifts to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, but here's something nice. And we used to give each other little gifts all the time. But then when they started giving me gifts instead of spending time with me, I was like, your presence does not replace your presence.
Yeah.
You know, and then that situation changed it for me. And now I like my main one is quality time. Yeah. Like that's my love language. So it's part of like with the podcast too. I'm like, it's better than a picture. It's like so great because you meet someone. I do the pregame beforehand. I do the actual podcast. Mm-hmm. So at the very least, I get two like really meaningful conversations with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's fun. But it's like, it also goes back to like value. How can you add value to other people? Right. And you have to kind of assess that because like, let's say, for example, if I meet someone professionally and I think they're really awesome, maybe I'll be like, oh, let's go grab coffee. They may or may not say yes. It's also what are they gaining and what's that taking them away from? Versus if I'm being like, oh, I have a podcast and I would love to have you on and share you with my audience.
Mm-hmm.
And have really cool content that you can share with your audience.
Yeah.
That's adding value to you, mm-hmm. not just me taking from you.
Yeah. No, I love that. The reciprocity of it, you know, like that's what it is.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Pay it forward, all that good stuff.
And that's why I think even with money, like you can be very creative too, because you might be in a space in your life where you don't have a lot of money or you're not quite there yet, but that doesn't necessarily mean you need to sacrifice experiences too. I always say like I'll never let money stop me from doing what I really want to do. Like I could be creative, bougie on a budget.
Think about the things that people figure out how to do with very little amounts of money. And so I tell people this too, and some people get it and some people don't, but I'm like, money is neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Money only is what you assign it to be. You assign an emotion to it. You assign a job to it. You make it what you want to make it. It's nothing but a neutral tool that you do what you want with it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I go back to the $5 or $5 million. Like somebody could take that $5 and do just amazing things with it, right? Because they assigned a very specific value to it and a very specific task for that $5. Then you've got someone that has $5 million over here that just did nothing with it. Maybe went out, bought, I don't know, spent it inappropriately as far as, you know, their drugs, you know, things that are not necessarily the most positive or impactful.
Right.
But it was $5 million. They assigned a value to it.
Mm.
So again, it goes back to our responsibility of what we do with things and how we make an impact with a neutral tool that we are given.
Yeah.
We make that choice of what to do with it.
Totally.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? Because I'm very curious, because obviously you have a lot of knowledge about money and finances, and it comes from a curious place, but also a very knowledgeable and logical place. But then there's this whole other side of money where it's like the spiritual energy aspect of money. What are your thoughts? I know that's a really broad question, but what are your thoughts on like people who are more about like scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset?
I think we touched on this briefly before. I do believe in that.
Yeah.
I do believe in like some people just all they do is hold on to money because they're scared that there's not ever going to be more, or they're scared that they're not going to make any more, or that somebody's going to take it from them. And so I think that puts you in a very specific state of mind, and it also puts your body in a very physiological state. And I think my personal opinion is that like I don't want to be there. I want to be of the mindset of like I can give my money away. You know, I understand people have to meet basic needs and things like that. I'm not saying, you know, give away every penny that you have. Like take care of yourself. But I also believe, again, like pay things forward. I believe that like do good things with your money.
Yeah.
I think they come back.
I'm such a believer of this. I literally had an example of this. It's such a minor example, but like, for example, there's this book called It's Not Your Money.
Okay.
And it really goes into the spiritual aspect of money, and it goes into like healing even childhood wounds. Mm-hmm. And like just figuring out what it was, what was that memory, that core that first started you having that relationship that you have with money.
Yeah.
And then also just challenging yourself to be like, it's okay to spend and to give to others. And by giving, I will receive more. Like you could literally physically, I think we can all relate to that feeling of not feeling like you have enough in whatever moment for whatever you wanted. No matter how much you make, there's always going to be something that's out of reach.
Yep.
You know, I think that's something people forget. Like you could be making like $300,000 a year and you are playing with billionaires and then you feel like the poor friend of the group, you know?
Yes. Yes.
You're always going to, the more you level up, there will always be someone who's living some sort of something that's out of reach.
Yep.
And they're not living out of reach. They truly could afford these things.
Yes.
Right. And so having this mentality of like, you can feel yourself scrunching up, you could feel that lack and that desire for what you don't have. And then that almost hopelessness of like, oh, but if only.
Yeah.
You know, and not feeling content with who you are right now versus like the times when you're like, listen, if it's meant for me, it will be for me. Let me pay it forward. A small example is I think we all have this situation where you're at the grocery store, and especially in this economy, I don't care how much you're making, food's expensive.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you're swiping your card at the end and they ask, do you want to add something to charity? Do you want to round up a dollar for charity? And I bet you like 75% of people are like, really?
You know, I'm going to – here's my curiosity.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up later. I will kind of want to know like what is the
percentage
of people who do participate in that or not participate in that.
I want to know.
Yeah, me too.
I want to know like for real, but like – because I've had this internal struggle within myself where I see it. And on one hand, I'm like – every time I say no, I feel like the worst human being in the world. You know what I mean? Like, no, I don't want to give to kids with cancer who are having some heart issues in Africa or something. Whatever. I'm being dramatic.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or am I? But so when I read this book, I was like, you know what? What a wonderful way to challenge myself to be in an abundant mindset where like here I am in a situation where I'm already thinking, wow, this is a lot more money than I want to be spending on something that I need to survive.
Yeah, food.
Do I need all that food to survive? Probably not. Probably some of it's for funsies, but whatever. But in that moment, can I be of a giving?
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Abundant spirit where it's like a couple of cents is not going to break the bank. I can give and trust that when I give, it's going to come back tenfold.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I think, like I said, that's my personal, I also like, I believe in giving. I believe in, like, I'm Christian. That's part of what it is, right? Yeah. And so I do believe that personally, that, like, you don't give to get. Mm-hmm. You give to give. But I do think that it also, like, you feel good when you give.
Yeah, when from a real place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I do think that changes your mindset just in general, not just about money, but just in general when you do give.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, even now where it's like, so one of the things that I'm doing this summer is I'm going to Africa. I'm climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Amazing.
And it's for charity. So I pledged to raise $8,500, mm-hmm. which is a lot of money to raise for charity. And it's been a really interesting journey for me because I'm like, even with raising money for charity, which is a good deed, some people were right away like, oh yeah, for sure. Here's the mm-hmm. money if I like approach them. Small or big amounts didn't matter. Some people just totally not, which fair enough. So then I asked a friend like what their advice was. And they're like, well, think about this. If you're on the street and you have two different homeless people approach you, one person is like, hey, do you have any extra change to spare? You may or may not give them, depending on where you're at. But if they have a guitar and they're like, hey, if I play a song for you, can I get a dollar? So they're like, what can you do to make it, you know?
That was very good advice. Not saying that, like, you should have to give somebody, like I said, to get. But I think that was a very, like, tactful way to do that. Because most of the time, like, there is an expectation to get something when they're giving you money.
Right.
You know, I think that's human nature.
And I know people who, like, will give charity to, like, friends and families of theirs who maybe aren't doing as well. Mm-hmm. And, like, they want to be giving out of their heart. But it's hard for them when they're watching that person spend the money.
Yeah. On ways, what they don't think they should be spending it on.
They're like, is that a priority? Because, like, you needed rent and you just got new clothes.
Yes.
You know, like, that's hard for them to watch.
Yeah.
And fair. In an ideal world, you're giving and you're not looking.
Right.
But we're humans. And money is so close to us that even when we give, that's why a lot of people will be like, I'd rather just give to an organization, which fair. But again, testing your humanity and how much you're giving, maybe that's a good thing to challenge yourself on. You know, it all just depends.
Yeah.
So even with that, I was like, okay, so now I'm trying to be creative on, like, what can I do to give people? So I have a few ideas. I don't want to say them on camera yet because they're not like 100%. So once they're live, I'll let the people know. But I am like, it is fun. It goes back to, like, when you're a creative person, it doesn't to me just apply to being artistic. It's problem solving.
Yeah.
Your brain thinks different. So if anyone's an entrepreneur, I don't think it's for everyone because it's not just about grit, it's about how creative you are.
That's true. Like, what's a workaround?
Right.
What's option A, B, C, and D?
Yeah.
Like, and can you do all of those? If A fails, B fails, C fails, like, are you going to keep going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just having a playful, curious approach, I think will help you with your sanity as well.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite entrepreneur journeys, and I think maybe this is where I get it because it was my great grandfather was an entrepreneur. He owned a clothing line for men. And it was like during the Great Depression. So funds were already super tight and so was goods. And he ordered a bunch of men's dress shirts, like white button-down dress shirts in bulk in anticipation of there not being as much goods. When he got a portion of that order, the backs of all the shirts were missing. They tried to pull one over on him. And he first tried calmly to deal with them and they wouldn't budge about giving him his money back or anything. Then of course he got angry and upset because who wouldn't in this situation? Still nothing. Now he's stuck with all these hundreds of shirts.
No backs.
So like you have two options as an entrepreneur in this situation. Either just be angry or be creative. And when you're an entrepreneur, you don't have the luxury of being angry. Right? Yes. Because it's like, well, what can I do with these? He sold them to funeral homes because for wakes, you don't need backs.
Brilliant.
And whenever I'm like struggling in business, I always think about that story. And I'm like, there is always a solution.
That's a good one.
You know?
Yeah. That's a really good one.
That's just one of the greatest stories for the books, I think, you know? It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's could be scary to be an entrepreneur, but it's so funny. With my entrepreneur friends, we'll have these days where we're like talking about how stressed we are, all our hardships, all our pain points, how much we want to give up. Maybe we should get a big girl job and like we're just making mistakes, right? And then like a second later, we're like, that I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's right.
It's just the best.
You don't have anybody telling you what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, like
you do get that feedback, right? Because especially if you're like consumer based, you're gonna get that.
Yeah.
Are people buying?
There's
your
an
goods,
element of it, right? Yes.
But at the same time, like how you approach it is up to you,
right? Yeah.
Because people will either buy into you or not, but how you approach it is totally up to you.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I always have this really fun question that I like to ask my guests. It's a new one that I've been asking, which is like in 10 years from now, if there was no limitations, and you're not having to be realistic here, just if everything went well and right, where would you want to be in 10 years?
I've kind of thought about this because I'm not old, but I'm not young. I think in 10 years, I want to have the luxury of running. So I have multiple businesses. I have like wealth management, tax mitigation, like strategy business, and then a financial literacy business. I would really love to have that financial literacy business be able to have such an outreach that anybody that wanted it, I could just give it to.
Mm.
I mean, that's like a business goal of mine.
Yeah.
I think, you know, familial wise, I mean, I have kids and I just want them to be doing well, you know, like I want to be able to be actively involved in their life still. But yeah, I think business wise, I would want the ability to have the outreach to, I mean, anybody and everybody. And if nobody could pay for it, no problem. That's what I want.
Have you ever studied Kabbalah at all?
Mm-mm.
Really? Okay. My audience knows my obsession with Kabbalah, but there's this master class and it's reminding, see, this is how my brain works. Whenever I talk to other people about like their dreams and their businesses, I want to like 10X because I start thinking of all these ideas of like what you could do.
Yeah.
So like, for example, if you wanted to create a program that you can share all this knowledge with, right? If you did like a master class where it's a video series. And I'm going to send you the link for Kabbalah 1.
Okay.
Because it's also a pay as you can type of thing.
Okay.
Where people can either pay a dollar, which is what I did because I wasn't sure what it was. And then I ended up paying full price for the next ones, of course. I think they were like $50 to $100. Because again, once you see the value, you're like, I would spend the money.
I would spend more than that for that. Yeah.
Because the investment of what I've seen
to
me, I'm the same way. Like I would invest in these kinds of like master courses or going to these different conferences. Like I see the value in them. So anyways, the way he breaks it up, you pay a dollar and then you have access to these 10 courses. Each are an hour long. And then there's like these mini like questions. It comes with like worksheets and all these things.
Okay.
And I feel like for your 10-year plan, if this is something you want to do, this would be a really good tool to look at.
To structure it similar.
Because even let's say with like my training program that I do, he's an actual human. he's one person. As a trainer, he can only train so many people within a day. And also his niche is specifically athletes, specifically in the hockey community.
Okay.
But yet how he trains, who doesn't want to train like an athlete?
Exactly.
So cool, right? So during COVID, he came up with this program called Train With Me. And as a retired pro hockey player, this is the workouts that he does.
Nice.
And it's $35 a month, which is like super cheap for like an amazing program. Yeah. He's got videos. It's like a whole community on the program where like people can like text and like talk on like the group chat.
Even better.
And like, it's just so cool. And then every, I would say, 6 weeks, the program changes. Then there's like a deload week. And then there's a new program that you do with him. I've been following it for like 2 years now. It's really awesome.
I'll check that out.
So I'll send you the links for both of those for you to check out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if you're wanting to reach more people but still prioritize your time.
Yeah.
So you're not running yourself thin. Yeah. This is a way that you can put something out there and reach the masses. And it's like, if you are, I mean, doing the math, but like if you are having each person pay $35 a month and you're reaching like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
That's great.
Right.
You know?
I'll take it.
And it's work that you would have done for one client.
Exactly.
You know, and obviously everyone knows there's nothing like person to person, being there with the energy, being able to ask those personal questions. You're still going to have those more private clients, but
yeah,
it's a cool opportunity.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. This is what I want to do at my coffee shop.
You totally should.
I want to like have these conversations with people where it's like just connecting them, you know?
I like it.
It's fun for sure. Okay. So I have this tradition at the end of every podcast. This whole podcast is based on this Hebrew quote, which is a chacham halomed mikol adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. And we've learned so much from you. But if you can give us like one last life lesson or favorite quote.
It's kind of a lesson and it's kind of a quote. And I don't know who like originally said it, but I learned it from, I guess, Mother Teresa at one point had like repeated it, or, you know, somebody said she repeated it. And it's something to the extent, I don't know exactly, like something to the extent of like, people might not remember like exactly what you said, but they'll always remember how you made them feel.
Mm.
And I think that's so powerful because I think it's just so true. Like, I mean, we could do this podcast and you might not remember one thing that like I said to you, but maybe you just remember having like a genuine connection with me.
Yeah.
Or like I've made you feel really comfortable, or maybe I met you in a grocery store and we didn't know each other and I said something to you that you don't remember, but like I helped you with something. Like,
yeah.
You're going to remember that, like, and how that made you feel like, oh my gosh, somebody really did care about me. I needed help and somebody helped me. And I just like, I would encourage everybody to like carry that with them as like, people will always remember how you made them feel. So like make somebody feel good.
Yeah. And it plays into your whole theme, which is like being open and curious. Yeah. Like that energy, first of all, it's going to leave you on such cool ways in your life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that's going to open so many doors automatically when you follow your curiosity. But also like the energy that you're in when you're coming from a place of, A, I'm curious about you. And then B, how can I add value to you?
Yeah.
That is a practical way. Like if you're like, how do I leave an impression with someone without worrying about, that's what I did with Babes in Business. The first time I went, I'm not going to lie, I get anxious in big groups sometimes.
Okay.
And so sometimes stepping into a group like that, especially when you're doing the whole introducing yourself when we're going around.
It's a little awkward.
It's a little awkward. Yeah. And you're like, how am I being perceived? And maybe you're intimidated because there's so many inspiring people there. You're like, how do I keep up? Right. And so with learning Kabbalah, one of the things that I learned was this concept of like giving back and adding value. So whenever I'm in a situation where in my head, I'm starting to be like, well, how am I being perceived? I feel uncomfortable. I feel anxious. I just swap it and I'm like, well, how can I add value?
Mm-hmm.
How can I make someone else feel good?
Yeah.
And then once you take that energy off you, you just relax so much.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so true. Like if you think back to things that people have said to you, you may not be able to remember. Most of the time you're not. But
no.
I guarantee you, if I said, hey, how does your friend Jess make you feel? You could tell me. Hey, how does your friend Stephanie make you feel? You could tell me.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Because like even with this podcast, like I believe you're episode 46. So that's 46 different people that have come across my show.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you verbatim what every episode has been about.
Right.
I mean, sometimes even within this, it's such a different experience being here in person versus like watching it when I'm editing it later.
Yeah.
I'll look back at it and I'll be like, oh, what a cool conversation. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not even trying to be fool of myself. It's just you're in a different headspace when you're in it as like an interviewer or a host versus as a consumer.
Yeah.
And even when I've been a guest in your shoes, that's a totally different experience as well versus being the one who's like, what environment am I creating?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I can't tell you verbatim, but like looking through the pictures, I remember how I felt energetically, not good or bad. It's just every guest brings out different experiences.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
it's really interesting. Yeah.
That's a great question to ask people. I like that.
Yeah. So I wanted to know, before we wrap this up, is there anything that we didn't touch? I know there's a lot to you and we could talk about a lot of different elements, but I'm glad, like, I always call it the magic of the mic. I never know 100% what it's going to come up. It's more about, like, when I sit down in the energy, I'm like, just go with the flow of it and figure it out.
Yeah.
But is there anything that we haven't touched on that you still want to share with the audience today?
I mean, to your point, like, we could talk. I mean, money is, like, such a crazy thing for all people. For sure. But I think really just, like, become aware of, like, who you are individually with money and how you handle it. And I think that is a game changer in and of itself. So I would just tell people, start figuring out what money means to you and be aware of your own biases, feelings, all of those things. And then, like, start talking to people about money. And I think you're just going to see this dynamic shift of good and bad.
Right.
But it's going to give you a great awareness and be very helpful to you.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to have hard conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like you said, you've seen firsthand. I'm just starting to see firsthand, when you begin to open up about hard things, you get the most beautiful, intimate relationships.
You do.
Yeah.
From the most unexpected places too. And that's the cool part about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The unexpectedness of it.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what's the best way for, like, my audience and my community to support you? Where can we find you?
So I am most active on Instagram. So my handle is Finance with Megan, all smashed together. But yeah, I'm active on there. I mean, DM me. I mean, I'm an open book. I love to help people with things. So if you have a specific question, like, DM me on there. I offer one-on-one coaching. I have a course that's coming out, just, like, it's called The Foundations of Money. Awesome. It should be out in the next, like, 2 months or so. I just wanted to create something that was very, like, beginner level, non-intimidating, quick to move through, easy to move through.
Wow.
But all of that will be on there. So I would say Instagram is probably the best place to reach out, like, where I am actually, like, active.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I have to figure out the timing of this, but it just make align when your course is coming out.
Oh,
it may align with when this podcast is coming out. Cool. If not, regardless, we're going to do all the links so everyone can find you.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, this has been so great.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Yeah. I really enjoyed this conversation
a lot.
Me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, this has been another great episode. So if you're not already watching this, we do have the video on Spotify or YouTube. And if you're not already subscribed, what are you doing with your life? Hit that subscribe button and share this episode with a friend who you think would benefit from it. And I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.